far so we can hear how you sound?
I left home at...
Can I get you closer to the microphone?
Yeah. I left home at just after 8. Got in my car and came to New Cross, which is how I always come into London, park my car.
Nice.
Got on the bus and then I arrived.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sounding good.
Right. Okay.
Good. I think we're happy. Okay, so we'll start recording from here and see how we go. Trevor, a flavour of you and your story a little bit, I think, to start with, just to give us a little bit of context. And your business background and how we now are ending up sitting in a room discussing philanthropy. So how did we get to that point from your personal point of view?
Well, I suppose it was really the money that came to me. I wouldn't call myself really a particularly generous person. I started off as a civil servant. I'm a chartered surveyor. I valued proper career. That was down in the West Country. And then I got divorced and wanted to, wanted to make a fresh start. And came up to London. I worked for a large city firm as a valuer for about 12 months. Didn't go very well. So I thought I would try setting up my own business. And that was very, very successful. Brought me lots and lots of money, which I never expected. So really, that was how it came about. I had lots of money. I suppose, to be completely honest, perhaps I felt a bit guilty about having that amount of money. And I thought, well, I had better do something good with it.
Right, so that's the decision-making point. How do you then decide where to put some of that money?
Well, what I always used to do, I set up a Charities Aid Foundation account, and from the early 1990s, I've got 1% of my income into that account, so that's how I did it. But I was very busy working, so I didn't have time to sort of pick and choose particularly. But of course, as soon as you start giving to charities, your name is on their address list, and you get bombarded with correspondence from them. So, when I got the envelopes through, I put them in a pile, and then once every 3 months, I go through them, and I give £10 here and £10 there, etc. So, I wasn't choosing; they were choosing me.
Which is an interesting element to this, because clearly control is part of this story, and how much control philanthropists feel they have once they've made the initial decision to give money. How much control did you feel you had at that point?
Well, I didn't have any control at all, but I didn't want any control, so it didn't matter. But yes, you are definitely right. Now I do want control, and... I didn't start giving to charity in any significant way till 2018. That was my first big gift, which was for a project in Burkina Faso. And yes, I was looking for control there because it was quite a lot of money.
Tell us about the project and what you were looking to achieve via it.
Well, it's bees. It's all about bees, and it is supporting a village in the south of the country, particularly the ladies of the village, and they did already keep bees, but we doubled their number from 25 to 50. We bought them beehives, we gave them training, we provided them with equipment, we bought some land, we planted some trees, rotten trees, moringa trees, And that was a year-long project. It was very successful.
How do you determine its success? What makes it, quote, successful in your mind?
Well, it was successful, you know, because, I mean, if for one example, we bought them 5 beehives each, so that's 250 beehives. They will last for 10, 15 years, so, you know, it's successful from that point of view. I think with hindsight, we should probably have also bought some queen bees and put some queen bees in the hives. The first year's harvest wasn't very good, so that didn't meet expectations. But you live and learn through these things. And I did that project through a British charity, and then they have an office in Ghana, which is the next door country to Burkina Faso. And then they used a fair trade organisation in Burkina Faso to actually manage it for them. And it was part of my original agreement with this charity that I would go out up to 3 times to see the village. As it turned out, I only went out twice, but that's better than none at all. You know, if you're talking about control, I was disappointed in the first time I went out, which was in October 2018. I was in the country for 7 days, but I was only with the villagers for 4 hours, and that's 7 days. Now, if it had been my project, and I, you know, could come and go as I chose, I would have been there for a lot longer than that. And it was the same when I went out in May last year, May 2019. I was only with them for about 4 hours. It's not long enough to create a relationship, you know?
What do you draw from that? I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but the implication of what you've just said is that the moment a third party is introduced, however well-intentioned it is and well-informed it is, in this case the charity based in Ghana, is the moment that your direct connection with what you're seeking to do is diluted to an extent.
That is exactly
Is that
right.
frustrating?
Yes. It was frustrating, so you look at the problem that you've been presented with and you work out solutions. I mean, it's frustrating, but it's, from my point of view, it's solvable. So, and you live and learn. I mean, it was a very useful experience for me. I've learned a lot of things from it. I haven't got any relationship, ongoing relationship with the village, which I would have liked. But that, you know, many good things came out of it, so I'm pleased about that.
And when you look at the question of philanthropy more broadly, which is what we're talking about in this programme, is it possible for you now, given the story you've just told, to adjudge the pros and cons and the do's and don'ts within this bigger picture?
Well, I can only speak from my own experience and within my own character. So I'm not speaking for anyone else, obviously, other than myself. But I've thought about it. I have a client manager at CAF, and I will be speaking to her about this, and I have already done so. But I think the solution for me will probably be to set up my own charity, actually, because that will give me complete control. It's quite a complicated thing to do. You know, you have to have trustees and you have to have deeds and all sorts of things, and you know, the tax people are involved. But I think for me that will be the right way of moving forward.
One last thought. You mentioned the tax people, and one of the issues we're discussing is whether or not higher levels of taxation on wealthy people is a better way to help those who need it most than to allow the individuals to decide where they put their money. Mm. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I don't think you have to choose one between the other. I think you can have both. I mean, you know, we have DFID in this country, which, you know...
International Development Government Department.
That's right. And they give out a lot of money, which comes from taxation. And you have private individuals like me, giving their own donations. The great thing, from my point of view, is that I get gift aid on this money that I sent to Burkina Faso. A quarter of it was government money, actually.
Because once you give, the government is obliged to contribute an additional sum.
Well, it isn't obliged, but that is the system. Yes. So, so from a private individual's point of view, that is a massive incentive. And I don't see why, you know, both systems shouldn't run side by side. I don't think there's any conflict there myself. I'm not suggesting that people think there is a conflict necessarily, but I think, you know, both paths work very well.
That's great. Thank you so much, Trevor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it.
Much appreciated. Very interesting.
Yeah, we've got...
It ties in really nicely with some of the things we're talking about, because, you know, you're sort of refreshingly candid about the pros and cons of the initial exploration of the world of charity, where you were worried about control, and then you described rather nicely what happened in Burkina Faso, again, the sort of pros and cons. So that's nice, very nice. Thank you. Much appreciated.
Good. All right.